Outcome 3.6 says, explain how the Bible should relate to and inform culture in their context. The Bible reading references are in your comprehensive notes. At the outset of this outcome, we need to remind ourselves of 2 Timothy 3:16, which says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. As we saw in an earlier outcome, because the Bible is inspired by God, it has the source of absolute truth. If we want to know if something is right or wrong, the Bible has to be our starting point. This is also true of our cultural practices. In a number of cultures, we see some who call themselves Christians who are in church on a Sunday, doing and saying things that would lead others to believe that they are indeed Christians, but who still cling to cultural practices which the Bible condemns. In parts of Africa, for example, ancestor worship is common, as are visits to the witch doctor or traditional healer. During the practice of initiation, sacrifices are offered to appease community gods. The traditional cultural ties are so strong that some Christians cannot seem to break free. So, who is right? Is it possible for a Christian to be involved with such practices? Dear facilitator, spend some time asking your students for examples of such cultural practices in their community. How do these practices threaten their church? Let's begin with the Bible. The website bible.org has an excellent article by Dr. Kenneth Boer entitled Ethics as If God Mattered, Secularism and the Word of God. Boer makes a number of significant points, the most important of which is the God of the Bible is the God who made the world and humanity, and whose instructions to humanity must therefore be obeyed. If God made us, he has every right to tell us how to live. Indeed, by creating the world in which we live and designing us to live in this world in relationships with one another, he determined for us what is right and wrong. The Bible simply reminds us or explains to us how God made and designed us and what behaviors are consistent with God's creation and what behaviors are not. Secondly, says Boer, the God who gave us the Bible proved himself to be the true God. For example, amongst many things, God delivered the Israelites from Egypt, and he raised Jesus from the dead. Third, the moral standards given to us in the Bible are the true standards of what is good, because God is perfectly good and does only good. Everything God created was created perfectly good. Everything God says and does is right. This means that God never requires from us anything but good. Fourthly, the standards God requires of us are expressions of God's own perfect good, perfectly holy moral character. What God tells us to do is a reflection of what God is and what God does. Finally, because God is unchanging, what he laid down for us still applies today. What God reveals in Scripture as his standards for human life and relationships is as relevant to us today as it was to Abraham, Moses, Amos, and Paul. Joseph Matera put it well when he said, if the church is going to be an effective witness for Christ, we have to exalt the universal truth of Scripture and exalt Christ as Lord of all, even over our ethnic and national culture. Note, not all cultural practices are non-biblical, so students should not jump to that conclusion. For example, in Indian culture, it's common for ladies to wear saris, which are garments consisting of a length of cotton or silk elaborately draped around the body. However, from a cultural practice, when a cultural practice is directly opposite to what the Bible lays down as God's way to live, then we should definitely stay away. Dear facilitator, some of your students may really struggle with this outcome because either they or someone close to them is still involved with cultural practices that are ungodly. Be sensitive, but there should be absolutely no compromise. On Judgment Day, we will be accountable to God, not to culture, for our practice.